get off on the right foot with the singing of that hymn.
Yeah.
That hymn really speaks to me so greatly. And I think the first verse in particular, which says, "Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home." And it's so amazing. It's such a prayer.
It is.
It really is. And, you know, I was thinking a lot about our shelter from the stormy blast and what that's evoking for me right now. And I was thinking a lot about an experience that my parents had almost 20 years ago while they were vacationing on the island of St. Martin in the Caribbean. It was November and it was hurricane season. And a tropical storm was forming, you know, down in the waters.
Yeah.
And it was starting to bear towards those islands.
Right.
And it was gaining a lot of steam. And it quickly moved from a tropical storm to a hurricane. And I remember speaking to my parents in those days and before the hurricane hit. And they would tell me, oh, how beautiful the weather was and how great everything seemed to be. And I kept on asking them if they were considering leaving the island. And do you know what they said?
I'm really curious.
They said no. Oh, they were not considering leaving because everything was going to be okay.
Because the weather was so nice in that moment?
Yes.
Right.
I think so. I'm not really sure. Okay. And then the hurricane came.
Right.
And then there was no calls from them, nothing for days. And they told me afterwards that during the time when this Category 5 storm came over and hit St. Martin, they were huddled in their concrete bathroom for hours on end. I mean,
wow.
We're not talking like 1 hour or 2 hours, but for hours on end, because it was the safest place to be.
Yeah.
And they said that they're there and they're hearing this crazy howling, and it sounded insane around them, but they couldn't go out of the bathroom to look at what was happening. And then the eye of the storm came over, so there's like this very brief period of quiet.
Right.
When they see that all these windows have been blown out, they really scurry to a friend's house so that had more hurricane protection, and they batten down there for the remainder of the storm.
So what did it look like afterwards? And were there like, you know, palm trees everywhere? Were all the buildings leveled and knocked down?
So I did not see this firsthand. I have what they told me, and I saw pictures of this afterwards, and it was just an image of utter destruction.
Mm.
Just houses destroyed, cars, boats lifted up and put, you know, hundreds of yards away from where the hit began. And also just this idea, you know, the livelihoods just completely destroyed. You know, it's just, you know, it just as they tell it, though, then the day after the storm, so there's this picture of this destruction, and yet the day after the storm goes through, they say that the sky was blue and the weather was just perfect. That's true, but everything had changed. Everything had changed.
Right, and that makes me think a lot about this week, actually, the idea that like there's this beautiful day and everything has changed. How beautiful some of the days have been this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how good it's felt to be outside in the yard. And I've like loved the feeling of like soaking in the sun on my face. Even while knowing there's so much illness and suffering and death and fear going on simultaneously.
I know. And so this is, it's actually just truly a paradox, right? Life in the midst of suffering and death.
Yeah, and I think that there's a way that the imminence of death, the closeness of death, actually allows us the opportunity to experience life differently, even if it's just for a fleeting moment, right? Like in experiencing the sun rising and all of the trees flowering all around our neighborhoods, and maybe even in like the multitude of like friends coming out of the woodwork to check in and say hello that we've been feeling this week. When we see the sunrise, I think there are these two things happening at once, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're feeling like the joy of the sunrise, right? The joy of the sun streaming on our faces. And so grateful that there is this life continuing.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that there's this anxiety and fear, too, at the same time. Is this one of my last sunrises?
Right, right. That's an incredibly heavy and real feeling, something that I've felt myself this week. And I just think about living in the midst of this paradox and this fear. You know, I keep on searching for where Jesus is in all of this. And I have to tell you that I'm just so grateful again to the Holy Spirit and how the scriptures end up giving us what we need at the time. And particularly the gospel reading this week, where we can experience where Jesus is in the midst of suffering and the pain and despair of Mary and Martha, right? And you know, and they're experiencing the death of Lazarus. You know, Mary and Martha, you know, message Jesus that one of his closest friends, Lazarus, is sick and dying.
Right.
And Lazarus dies.
Right.
Lazarus dies, and Mary weeps. And Martha weeps,
right.
And ultimately Jesus weeps, right? I mean, this is kind of amazing, but it's not the same for all three of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because while Mary and Martha weep, and the crowd think that death is the final word, Jesus knows that that's not true.
Right, and Mary and Martha seem to really have faith that Jesus could have healed Lazarus. Yeah. And when they see Jesus, Mary immediately runs out and says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, right? Yeah. Like, and the crowd, too, they know that Jesus has the ability to heal. And they say, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man kept this man from dying? Mary, Martha, the disciples, the crowd, they all believe that death has the final word.
They do, and yet it doesn't. And I think that we have to keep that, like, ever present in our lives right now. And, you know, just think, you know, Jesus doesn't just heal. He could have come 4 days earlier, right? And this whole scenario would have been completely different, you know, and he could have done that. But what does he do? He goes to the tomb, the rock is moved away, and he calls for Lazarus to come out.
Right.
Right. And what becomes one of the most definitive acts in the Gospel of John. I mean, that's what's so incredible. And it sets into motion Jesus's walk to the cross, right? In doing this, in raising Lazarus from the dead. And it's really kind of amazing because we juxtapose that with what we heard in Ezekiel today, right? So here we have Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, and then we have these dry bones coming together, right? The thing that we never think is possible.
Right.
Like, what can you possibly do with dry bones? And yet the Spirit comes, and they're reformed in this way. And the Spirit breathes new life into them to be reformed so that they might prophesy.
Right. And that's such an interesting point, because the idea of being reformed, renewed, we have this idea, I think, that Lazarus is just the way he was before.
Right, I think that this is the key point, right?
Yeah, and I think that this is kind of how we're perhaps all operating a little bit right now, right? And I think, too, and going back to your Ezekiel, the bones, you know, this passage from Ezekiel is written at a time when the Israelites are in exile. They're away from their homeland, and God is promising that they will be returned to their homeland, and I think their vision of it is that they're going to go back, and it's going to be like life was before. But in this reforming, something new is created, too. What is most changed, I think, perhaps, is our idea of what life could be, what this new thing that's happening, this resurrected life.
Right, right. And so what we have is this other tension of that, like, all for them, all for Mary and Martha and everyone there is changed for them in this really profound way, and yet all of it's still the same. Like, there's the day that today is the same. The difficulty of living in the first century is unchanged. But now what is changed is they have a new prism through which to experience all of it. And I want to propose that they actually have a new way to be present in their own lives. Mm. You know, if I think about our lives today, the difficulty of our common lives now in what we are living through and living with, you know, this is kind of unchanged, and it's going to remain unchanged for a while. And it probably is going to get a little bit more difficult, I would say, in the coming weeks. I mean, we just don't, we don't know what this is going to look like. And yet it's never going to return to the way that it was. But what is changed, and you know, is the prism through which we see this, and that death and fear and suffering do not have the final word in any of this.
We're really uplifting today, aren't we?
Today, I know.
I mean, this is a little depressing, and I don't know. It gives me chills. It really, like, literally, just gave me chills as you're saying that it's actually going to get worse, mm-hmm. right? And before it gets better, and that it's not going back to how it was before, that life will be forever changed. And yes, okay, we have this new prism for understanding it. And when Jesus gets here to this place where he sees how death has wreaked havoc on his friends, on the crowd, on everyone gathered there, Jesus weeps then, right? That's when Jesus weeps, at these moments where we are now.
Right, and I think, you know, going back that step to before Lazarus is resurrected, yep. to see where Jesus is gives us some consolation with him, right? We see Jesus deeply moved and yeah. weeping in this moment,
right.
you know, yep. himself. And Jesus's humanity is most evident, I think, in this moment than ever before. Here's a man, God's son, who spent the entire Gospel of John healing and performing miracles and teaching folks. And here he is weeping alongside of his friends, right? Yeah. Feeling what they feel, right? Mm-hmm. And this is when that I know that Jesus feels what we are feeling right now, mm-hmm. Weeping alongside of us. And yet, Jesus isn't just in that place because he knows what the hope is in the resurrection and, yeah. and that life everlasting.
Right.
Right? And so there's both this thing of like, how can I allow Jesus to be present with me at this moment in my fear and anxiety? And how can I also hear those words that he is saying to Martha, that I am the resurrection and the life? So I have to really try to be able to do both of those things right now.
Right. You know? Right. So where does that hope for us today lie, right? And I think the good news is kind of twofold. One, we are promised that life to come, and Jesus says to us today, right now, that we can live this life as resurrected creatures already, as people aware of and trusting in the resurrection, people who don't see death as the final word. We can be like Jesus in this way. We can be renewed and reformed by Jesus' presence with us and be a part of resurrected life right now.
Right, and I think that there's a reality that when we are in the midst of this type of communal crisis, there is a true breaking open for us. I mean, some people describe this as the thin line. Have you ever heard about that? Like when God is like really, really close to us. Yeah. It's like a breaking open in this idea that there's really, it's really palpable. So there's a breaking opening in our ability to see the world around us in a very real way and experiencing. And it's not easy to experience. I mean, we never want to say that, it's not that it's great. But it's happening. But it has the ability to connect us more deeply with each other, to help each other, to love each other more deeply, mm-hmm. right, in this shared experience. It also has this moment to allow us to see the beauty in the world, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can experience that real imminent beauty in the flower or in the sun coming down, right? And when it breaks open, it also means that we can experience the pain and the suffering a little bit more as well. But you know, both of these things are at once, right? So it's allowing both of these things to happen in our lives at the same time, and it's seeing and experiencing our lives in this way. I think it really actually makes God more imminent in our lives.
That's
there is a palpableness to God in our lives. And it makes us more alive in a way, you know, and that in this moment, Jesus is both weeping and walking with us and reminding us that he is the resurrection and the life eternal and to come. And when we actually experience this, this is resurrected life.
Right.
In a way, you know, do you know what I mean?
I do. And I feel like when I've read this story before and when we've preached about it on other fifth Sundays of Lent, it hasn't had the same urgency that it has for us today, right?
Right.
Like it hasn't had the same resonance. It hasn't, the closeness of death perhaps hasn't been so close for us. And it's very urgent for us as we're getting ready to enter Holy Week, and our experience as we're going to move into Palm Sunday and Holy Weekend and Easter is going to be completely different this year.
Right, it's not only going to be completely different because we're not physically going to be together, it's going to be completely different because our current and present experience is so incredibly different than it has really ever been in our communal lives together.
That's right, and so I think the idea of feeling that breaking open feeling that you're describing is going to lead us to have the opportunity to feel that closeness with Jesus, right? And that idea of Jesus walking with us and weeping with us through this.
I know. I mean, I wonder about, you know, we started with that passage from
the hymn, and we could go back to that very last verse of the hymn too, Kimberly, which is equally like kind of sums up parts of this for us. And the last verse goes, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be thou our guide while life shall last, and our eternal home."
I know, and it's like the present too. It's not just what's past, it's not what's to come, but it's right here and right now, walking with us through this storm, right?
Totally.
You know, that life does spring eternal, and that's hard to feel sometimes these days, but that Jesus is walking with us during this time and is always there for us.
Amen.
Amen.